And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I do thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the sunshine this morning and just the safety that you give us on the way here. And God, I do pray that you would just bless us this morning, help us as we talk about our words and our tongue, Lord. And Lord, how important it is that we do what we ought to and that we control it. And Father, I do pray that you would just help our people. Lord, help me to be better at thinking about what I say before I say it. And Lord, I do pray that you would be honored in the things that I say. And Lord, it's so easy. It's so easy to say something. And Lord, sometimes we don't even realize that we've said it and that we can hurt. But Lord, it's also a very powerful tool that we can use to build people up and to help people. And God, I do pray that you just help us to use our mouths, use the words that come out of our mouths wisely. And Lord, help us this morning, help pastors he preaches later, help each and every Sunday school class guide my words this morning. Lord, I do ask that, and I pray that you just help me in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we've talked about in James chapter 3 that the biggest part or the first part of this chapter is talking about, or most of the chapter is talking about our tongues and the things that we say. And we're going to continue this thought of lessons from my toolbox. And this morning, we're going to talk about in James chapter 3, if you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." In the year 1871, in the week of October the 8th through the 14th, most people would recognize that, not that you would necessarily, but that was the year and the time frame that the Great Chicago Fire happened. And most of you know that a lamp was kicked over and it started a fire and it destroyed over a third of, at that time, Chicago's, the value of Chicago, a third of it was gone in that one fire. 100,000 people were basically homeless. And because of that, everyone pretty much knows about that. But most people don't realize that during that same time frame, there were three other tremendous fires. One of them was up in Michigan, and it destroyed two different cities. One was called, I got it written down here, the city of Holland and Manistee, two different cities. They were leveled because of a fire during that time. And then a city called Port Huron was also leveled during that time. And then in Wisconsin, during that same week time period, the Great Peshtigo, I think that's how you pronounce it, fire happened. And that was the deadliest fire in the United States history. It wasn't Chicago Fire, but it was this fire. Over 1,500 people lost their lives during this fire. And it's ironic that it all happened in that same time period. But you know, all of those things, it doesn't, you know, there's not generally a lightning strike that comes down and starts a fire, all right? You know, most fires and almost every fire that we have is started by one little spark. And it's huge. You know, I've got different tools that, not as much in my truck per se, but different things. I've got a small torch, one of those little blue, it's got the blue propane tanks, and I always carry that in my truck. And you know, it's got a self-ignition, all right, and it clicks and it starts a fire. You know, most of your vehicles that you drove in this morning have a spark plug in it. And the whole function of that vehicle is operated off of that spark plug. And it sparks and it ignites things. I brought this. This is just a striker, okay? And I use it for my torch. But you know, it sparks. And you can start an amazing fire with something very, very small. Something very small. Your grills. A lot of you probably have electronic ignition on your grills. We've come a long way from striking you know, probably if I said you need to find some matches, you would have to rummage around because everything anymore is auto. You know, you just click a button and it auto ignites, right? And you know, if I told you I need some matches. Well, I got a lighter, and you know what? It still has a spark. But even if we had a match, there's that heat there. There's that spark. And tremendous fires can be caused. Right now, Australia, from everything I've read recently, Australia is in one of the worst times they've ever had with wildfires. And it's just obliterating people's places. I think the missionary letter, last Sunday was from the Hongs. And they talked about, and I encourage you, it was a long letter, but go back and read it on the second page, if you would, sometime, if it interests you. But families in their church that live out in the country, there is no city water out there. They don't even have a well, so they have to go buy water. But the water shortage is so great because they're draining the lakes, they're draining the streams, they're draining the ponds just to fight the wildfires. And so they're limiting these people on how much they can take one shower basically a week. They only get, I forget what it is, 25 liters a day is their ration of water. They're rationing water. And you know what? I'm thankful in America that we don't ration water yet. We don't ration it yet. You know, you think about, and I was reading, and this is kind of a side note, has really nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning, except for the fact that America's headed down. You look at Australia and their policies concerning, you know, they're a very liberal nation, Australia is. And some of the things that they implement and some of the things that they've pushed God basically out of their society. God is not a part of Australia's culture, okay? And they very much have pushed God, and you know, America's headed down that road. And you think about, well, you know, the things that Australians are going through, and I know it's a different climate, it's a different, you know, it's a little more arid, that type of thing, but America's headed down that road. You think about how quick God could shut the water off in America and how bad it could get real quick. How bad it could get real quick. Of course, you know, they're all blaming it on global warming and how it's all part of because of man's, you know, our emissions and stuff like that, which, you know, they have their own opinion about that. But, you know, listen, folks, we could be there real shortly. You know, we had some dry spells this summer. And you think about that. You know, if God carried that out for 2 years, we would be in bad shape in America. We'd be in real bad shape. And it's just something to think about. But those fires out there in Australia are devastating places. I forget, they have a volunteer fire department, basically. And I don't remember, I read the numbers recently. 70,000 some firefighters on a volunteer fire department that go around and put out brush fires. That's basically what they do. The United States and Canada are starting to send firefighters over there to help with the fires because they just can't handle them. And what you think about, what did all that start from? At some place, at some moment, there was a spark. There was a spark. And that spark, it either, you know, by man or by something that happened, it started a fire, and now thousands and thousands of acres and homes are being destroyed and lives are being endangered. Why? Because of one little spark. And James tells us here, James chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible says, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. And it says this statement, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A great a matter. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire, listen to this, of hell. It is set on fire of hell. And wouldn't it be sad that as Christians, our tongue could be used as a very instrument of the devil? You think about that. Set on fire of hell. The words that, and the Bible says, Brother Chad, how do we fix this? Well, I believe the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. For out of the abundance, so we got to get our hearts right. Because the only way we can control this is when this is right. If this isn't right, if my heart's not right towards a fellow Christian or for a brother in Christ, you know what's going to be very easy for me to do? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If I'm not right with my brother, and we can go to 1 John. I read 1 John this week in my devotions. And, you know, if you're not right with your brother, you're not right with God. And, you know, so it's very easy to take something that's in your heart and inadvertently, not even inadvertently, but that's just our flesh, okay? So it's important to have our heart right. I'm going to give you just some thoughts this morning on our tongue, and we'll use what time we have. But let's go to the book of Proverbs. You know, I believe the Bible teaches us some things about our tongue. But Proverbs chapter number 18, I'm going to look at the importance. First of all, the importance of correct speech. Proverbs chapter number 18, the importance of correct speech, the things that we say. Some of the most powerful forces or power. I say forces, it sounds more natural. And although it is, you think about a wildfire, there's nothing that you can honestly do. I mean, you put yourself up against a wildfire, there's not much you can do by yourself, all right? And you know what Australia wants right now? And whether they come out and say that they want God to do it, but you know what Australia desperately needs right now? There's only one thing that they can really use right now, and it comes from God. It doesn't matter how many firefighters we send over there, if they don't have water, they're done. Honestly, you think about that. And you know, the only place that, you can't produce water, folks. All right? You know where that comes from? God Almighty. And I believe until people humble themselves, you go to the Old Testament. Look how many droughts God sent to the nations of Israel and to the other nations. And what did it always require? People going to God and getting right with God. Okay? And if America ever gets to that place where God sends droughts to us, you know the only place that you're going to get water at? You can't produce it, folks. All right? That's something that God does. And anyway, James chapter number 8, or Proverbs chapter number 18, look at verse number 8. The importance of words. We're going to talk about the importance of words first. The Bible says, verse number 8, Proverbs 18, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They're hurtful. You know, words can be very hurtful. They can, you know, there's an old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. In fact, words can hurt very many times much more and have longer, you know, somebody beats me up and, within a matter of time, I can be back on my feet and be back well, all right? But there's some things that people carry their whole life that somebody said to them that they will never forget, they will never get over. And words are important. Proverbs chapter number 17. I should have those in order. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse number 7. And we see this phrase here that we're going to kind of talk about. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. This term, excellent speech. Proverbs chapter number 8, flip back, keep you in Proverbs as much as I can. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." So excellent speech, excellent things coming from our lips. Proverbs chapter number 31. The virtuous woman one of her attributes. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And, you know, I believe our speech is important. The way we communicate, the things that we say, it is important. It is important what we do with our mouth. And how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I'm gonna just give you some thoughts. I got about 4 or 5 thoughts this morning that I pulled out of Proverbs. And so we're gonna look at these. So we know the importance of our lips, the importance of things that we say. One thing I want to challenge you is, first of all, I think we ought to be careful how much we talk. How much we talk. Go to Proverbs chapter number 17. We were just there. It's a different verse, though. Proverbs chapter 17. Careful how much we talk. Verse number 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Bible says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, I think this is an incredible passage here. You know, basically what the Bible's saying is if you'll just be quiet, you can be... It's interesting because there's two different people represented here. There's a man that has knowledge, and most of you men in here that you've worked with other men, it's interesting how many times somebody that really knows what they're doing will watch you do something, and they know what you're doing wrong, but a lot of times they won't say anything. And come to find out later, they knew all along what you know how to do it, and they didn't say anything. And you know what the Bible says calls that man? A man of knowledge. All right, look here, verse number 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Then there's the opposite, and most of you, probably all of you have had this. There's the guy that really knows nothing, but thinks he knows everything. And all he does is just talk about his experiences of life. We'll have him come to, you know, we have him come to church sometimes. You know, the guys that can do everything, but can do nothing, right? And all they do is talk about, well, I used to do this, and I don't even know how they had so many years of their life to accumulate all this knowledge, but they've done everything. But when you really put them to the test, they really don't know, okay? And he that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit, even a fool, all right? You can even take a fool, somebody that, I hate to say it, but an idiot. You know, I know the Bible doesn't use the term idiot, but kind of a ding-dong. You know, if he'll just keep his mouth shut, most people will be like, hey, that's smart, all right? And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I think it's important that we just keep our mouth shut. You know, if you don't open your mouth and say anything, you can't get in trouble with your mouth. All right? And we're all bad. At least I am. Sometimes I open my mouth and I shouldn't. And it's, you know, people are scared of silence. People are scared of silence. If I was to stand up here for the next 45 seconds and stay absolutely silent, two things would happen. Number one, you would start falling asleep. All right, because I already see it. Number one, you start falling asleep. Number two, people get uncomfortable. You ask somebody a question and they don't know the answer. You know, and you know everybody wants to come up with something, right? But if you're just quiet, it makes everyone uncomfortable. Okay, but that's important. It's important to be quiet. If we don't know the answer, just be quiet. And if I don't know the answer, I should just be quiet. Don't come up with something that's not right. I've done that before. I've told somebody something because I wanted to have the answer. I wanted to be correct. And I've told something to somebody and then come to find out later, I was way off. Way off. Our media, our news media, is really bad about that, folks. Just if you didn't know, notice. But they don't know most of what they're talking about. But they got to have something, you know... Wouldn't it be interesting if you turn on the evening news and the newscaster comes on and says, "Well, folks, nothing to talk about tonight, so we'll see you next hour." No, that don't happen. They got to come up with something, all right? And whether it's true or not, they're coming up with something to talk about. And I would be thankful if people don't know the truth, just keep their mouth shut. Just keep their mouth shut. You know, everyone has their opinion thing. Some of you probably have a page. If you pull up the internet, it'll have a page of like headline things or something sometimes. And there's a few of them on there. It'll say opinion beside it. You know, all that somebody is just doing this without any basis or facts. Okay. You know, everyone's upset about the, you know, President Trump killing this Iranian, you know, general or whatever. And so everyone has their opinion about it. Well, yeah, I have my opinion about it too. All right. And my opinion, and I'm, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because I'm just talking, but my opinion is, why didn't they do it sooner? Quite honestly, I mean, I don't have any problem with them doing it. Why didn't they? I mean, if he's killing Americans or is directly involved in it, why didn't they do it 3 or 4 years ago? You'd save that many lives. All right. I don't have a problem with it at all. All right. He's an enemy to the nation that I call my home. Okay. And anyway, that's besides. But speaking sparingly, everyone has an opinion. Everybody wants to give their view. Well, I think, you know what it shows for the most part? Shows people are being kind of foolish. Okay. Speaking sparingly, Proverbs chapter 10. I'll show you another verse here. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 19. Just don't talk so much. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there wanteth, that means lacking, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, one of the dangers about the technology, about everyone having a cell phone all the time, is that at any moment you can talk to somebody. Now, whether it be by actually calling somebody or, and I don't think this generation probably is as bad as any other Sunday school class here, but you know, at any moment you can send a message to somebody, and people don't send me messages just because by and large I don't respond to them. If it's something, I mean, if somebody needs my attention, then I'll respond to it, but I don't get involved in these group texts where you've got five people texting all at the same time and you've got, you know, there's 10 people texting, so your phone is going off every 10 seconds with somebody else with their, you know what, I don't respond to them. Because why? It's at some point, you know, all you're doing is you're having to respond to all this stuff that really is just somebody's opinion. I don't do that, okay? And that's just my, I don't like technology for one thing. But you know, everybody can get a hold of anybody almost at any moment. And that's a very much a dangerous thing. Because in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. When I was courting my wife, you know what? One thing we had to be careful about, even on the phone. All right, listen, how much time I spent talking to her. Because at some point, you can only talk about so many things within the realms of what God would have you talk about. And once you get past, once you get to that point, you start, well, I don't have nothing else to talk about, so I'm going to go outside of the bounds of what God would want me to talk about. Does that make sense? And you have to be careful about that, all right? And I'm just being honest with you. We had to manage that. You know why Brother Chad, you had really strict, you know, you'd only spend 15 minutes on the phone with, you know, when I was dating my wife, and it increased the more I got to know her, but I'd only spend 15 minutes on the phone or whatever with my wife when we were dating, a day. You say, "Bro, Chad, that's not very much." Okay. How many of you probably spend, you know, what do you want me to do? Spend 5 hours sitting there looking into her eyes, and I don't have that much to talk to her about. Even today, she can ask you. I mean, we'll be driving in the car for an hour or two, and I mean, we'll talk about a few things. But at some point, folks, This is just me. I just run out of stuff to talk about. I mean, I don't talk about the weather with her, really. I mean, she's experiencing the same weather I am, so why talk about it, right? All right? Brother Chad, you're so cold. Well, I may be cold, but we would sit. This is terrible. And this is my fault. I should have been better at it. You know, my whole growing up years, I never talked to girls. I had sisters. I ain't gonna talk to my sisters about nothing, all right? I mean, besides family things that has to be taken care of, I mean, I don't just sit down and talk to a girl. So going to college, I don't know, what do you talk to a girl about? I mean, she's not concerned about anything I'm concerned about. She don't hunt, she don't fish, she don't work, really. So what do you talk to a girl about? Seriously. And we'd sit down at lunch when I first started dating her. And I've gotten a little better. I've gotten a little better over years. But we'd sit down to lunch, and I'd be there for 15 minutes, all right, eating lunch. And I would say hi when she sat down beside me. And because we, you know, at college, we hadn't really seen each other all day. And we'd sit there for 15 minutes, and I'd eat my lunch, and she would eat her lunch. And I'd get up, go to work, and I'd say, I'll see you later. And, you know, but Chad, that's terrible. I know it's terrible, but listen, we didn't get in trouble that way. Why? Because I was, whether inadvertently, I was sparing with my words. It was God's grace, all right? You know what happens when people talk too much in that situation? They start getting into sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Whether it's two ladies that get together that all, you know, they're just going someplace or just calling somebody on the phone, you know, it's very dangerous because at some point you run out of stuff that is within the boundaries of what God would have you talk about. We just do, okay? I don't think any of us have that interesting of a life. I'm just saying, all right? Two men can do the same thing. At some point, if you're not careful, you get too much time talking about things that we shouldn't talk about. And the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. We got to be careful. Speaking, watching how much we talk. Let me say this. We got to be careful about how much we talk, but we need to be careful that we only speak after we think about what we're going to say. Proverbs chapter number 29. Go to there. Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." That's pretty strong language. If you look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs doesn't have anything good to say about a fool. And so for the Bible to say there's more hope of a fool than there is of a man that just is quick to answer, quick to speak, quick to talk, all right? He talks basically without thinking. One man said, be sure brain is engaged before putting tongue in gear. All right, you know what he's basically saying? Make sure you think about what you say before you say it. And I've done that a lot. You just say something, and then it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Whether it hurt somebody or it was, you know, just because you have, and we're going to get to this in a moment. Just because you have knowledge of something doesn't mean that you should say that. Because I have knowledge of certain situations at church because I have to, does not mean that I need to say something about it. All right? I need to think about how the whole aspect of, I just lost my place, the whole aspect of what we're going to say, how it's going to affect every situation. You know what that is in the Bible talks about? That's called understanding. You know, if you have understanding, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to say this, but how is this going to affect this situation? All right, how is this little bit of input going to affect it? Is it negative? Is it positive? I'm going to read you a verse, James chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." You know what the Bible says? Listen, but keep your mouth shut, unless you've... What does it say? It doesn't say that you should always keep your mouth shut. It says slow to speak. All right? Proverbs said, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words. All right, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. And I don't think a lot of people really mean to hurt somebody. They just don't think about what they're going to say. All right, so speak only after you think about what you're going to say. Ephesians chapter number, or go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. So be careful how much we talk. Be careful about talking before you think. Proverbs chapter number 12, look at verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 17. The Bible says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." We need to speak the truth. That should be a given, but it's so easy to not speak the truth. And let me illustrate that in just a moment. Ephesians, I'll read this verse to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." It's important to speak the truth. You know, when you take a vow in a courtroom, they say, "Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" You know, there's three parts of doing the truth. You can say, well, this is, you know, you get this a lot from kids. You know, you'll have a child come home from school and they'll tell something that happened at school, but they leave out the part where they were involved, you know, or the kids come, I mean, they'll come to us as parents. You know, Emily will come, "Mommy, Daddy, Micah hit me." Okay. That was probably the truth. They wouldn't put him past him one bit. He probably hauled off and slugged her. Okay. But my first question is always, what did you do to him? Because he's not, I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't, but most of the time, things like that are a reaction, not an action. And you say, well, you know, what do you do? I try to find what the truth is. Because most of the time, and we do that, you know, everyone wants to put themselves in a good light. So we don't tell the whole truth. We miss out the part that, you know, where we did something wrong, all right? And it's important to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, all right? You know, this is famous in fishing stories. You know, guys will tell a fishing or a hunting story, and quite honestly, it's really not that exciting. So they have to add things to make it more exciting, you know, and how bad their pole was bending over. And I took some boys fishing in that camping trip that we always take, and the place where we go is, it's basically a valley that had trees in it that's been flooded, so the whole pond is basically full of sunken trees. And you know, I heard across the lake, I heard one of the boys yelling, and it wasn't a good yelling. He was upset, and I'm like, okay. And he come back over, and it was just the situation, but he's like, "It was a huge fish. And, you know, broke my line. I'm like, "Oh yeah?" He's like, it had to be huge. And I'm like, "Okay, well, how do you know it was a fish?" He's like, "Well, it had to be a fish." And, you know, so he's telling this big fish story. And you know what? I know what it was, because there's not that big a fish in that pond. He got hooked on a log and broke his line. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, it made it sound, he didn't want to, yeah, he broke his line, but he wanted to make it sound like it was in the quest of greatness that he broke his line. All right. Well, yeah, we're all that way, folks. Okay. We're all that way. You know, we embellish things. What does that mean? It means to make greater than what it actually is. We embellish things, and it's easy to do, especially guys. We've got this pride thing, and we want to tell how great it was or how big it was, when in the whole realm of things, it really wasn't that important. So we got to speak the truth. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you can't, speak sparingly. Just keep your mouth shut, all right? and speak only after thinking. Go to Colossians. I want to show you this verse. And we've got two more and we'll be done. If we can get to them. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Remember, we're talking about how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It starts with a spark. A lot of stuff starts with a spark. I remember one time we was picking corn. I was running a combine, and Dad was running a combine. And we was picking these pretty long rows, and we looked back, and there was fire in the cornfield. And it come to find out one of the grain trucks had backfired or something, and it had spit out flame. And you know what? If we hurried back and drove back, and we got our coats and everything, and we was beating it. I mean, if we don't take care of it, nobody else is. And we got it. It wasn't a big deal, but we got it put out. But you know, if that would have went unattended, it could have been very costly. Could have been very costly. You know, a little thing can be very costly, but a little thing can also be great. All right. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Just in the way that, you know, there are times that you should speak. There are times that you should say something. But sometimes it's knowing when to say it. The other thing is knowing how to say it. And I think that's what it's talking about with grace here. Speaking with grace is unmerited favor. You know, I may know the truth, but how you say it can determine in a great way how it's received. All right? And speak with grace. Speak. Maybe this young person needs to be chewed out. But I don't have, there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. I can do it with grace, or I can do it in a mean spirit. Speaking with grace, unmerited favor. You know, I'm glad we have electricity. And I know that they're trying to do away with coal-fired power plants and all that stuff. You know, they're doing away. But we've got a lot of this by and large because there's a fire someplace burning. All right? And that, you know, we're thankful for it. It can be good. You know, I think sometimes words that we say can be much more effective instead of, and Pastor taught me this. I don't know if the word compliment, I don't have the right word in my mind, but sometimes a compliment does much more than a rebuke does. If I've got a group of young people, I can, you know, and I've got young men over here that aren't doing good, and I've got young ladies over here that are doing great. If I compliment the young ladies on how good they're doing and sitting up straight and tall and doing a great job, you know what it makes the young men over here want to do? They sit up straight and tall. Now, it may last for a very short time, but generally, you know, it's more effective to do that than get down on their face and rip their face for not doing what's right. If I've got two young people sitting beside each other, and one of them's doing right and one of them's doing wrong, if you go down to that young person and you get down to the one that's doing a good job, say, "Man, you're doing such a good job, sitting up straight and tall, you're listening." The other kid looks at him and sits up straight and tall and starts listening. You know, you accomplished two things with that. One, you complimented the young person that was doing right. And two, you challenged the one that wasn't. You know, we've got it in our nature, well, you can't be better than me, so if somebody compliments you, I'm going to do better to try to do that. All right? My kids do that sometimes. I'll compliment one. You know, one's got a new dress or something. And I'll compliment Emily or Gwen. Let's say I compliment Gwen on her dress. And you know what Emily wants to do? "Hey, Daddy, did you see my dress?" You know what it is? It's human. It's human nature. We like that. And, you know, sometimes saying something with grace, being kind to someone is much more effective than putting them down. When a young person comes, it may be a young lady she's dressed very nice, You know, a young lady likes it when somebody notices that she got a new dress. All right? Ladies, you know, you like it when somebody notices something different. Okay? And young men are the same way. Hey, did you get a new suit? Yeah, I did. It looks nice. Did you get a new haircut? Did you get a haircut this week? Yeah. It looks good. Hey, that, you know, tell a young lady, that's a very pretty dress. You look nice today. You know, I can accomplish much more by doing that than, well, that's just too short. You shouldn't be wearing that. You should get your hair cut. Does that make sense? Speaking with grace, being kind with the things that we say. It was said of the virtuous woman, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She passed a law in her tongue, and nothing would come out but that which was kind. She was a virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 25. We got time for one more. Time. Talk about timely speech. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Knowing when to say something is important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. All right? Knowing when to say something is important. All right? When to say it. You know, the best thing that Job's friends did for him when he lost everything, first of all, was when they just came and were quiet. They were just quiet. You know, there's sometimes you don't even have to say anything to be a comfort to somebody. Just having somebody there is, you say, Brother Chad, you were talking about you don't talk a whole lot, you know, necessarily. You know, I can drive for a couple hours and I don't, you know, if I'm with somebody that I enjoy their, you know, there's just something about enjoying, you know, I enjoy my wife's presence. I don't have to talk to her to enjoy being with her. Does that make sense? And it's a timely speech. You know, sometimes it's more important when you say something than if you say anything at all. All right? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything. That includes our words. How are you saying it? What are you saying? To every, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold how great a matter. Let's be careful with what we say, how we say it, when we say it. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Give us to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you guide our words, guide the things we say. Help us to think before we say them. Help us to be gracious. Help us to be kind. And help us just pass some laws about the things that we say, that we will say, we won't say, that we'll text, that we won't text. Different things, Lord, I pray that you just help us. In Jesus' name, amen.